It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And Joey is on hiatus an extra week more than he thought because he got a little misinformation about family being in town. So you'll hear him again next week, and we can find out how it's going with the new baby. For today, Adam and I will just keep it going. I don't know what in the world we could possibly find to talk about.
We'll just make a lack of subjects this week.
It's just incredible, isn't it? But anyway, welcome back to all the regulars. We've been doing this a long time. You've been doing it for a long time, and let's keep that relationship going. If you're new to the show, whether you heard about it from someone or just accidentally stumbled on it, then welcome and try to stay the whole time. You know, there's a reason I opened the show the same as I did on day one. It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock, and this is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Because I want those words to trigger a thought, and everybody who's ever heard the show. So if you're cruising along and not really paying much attention on a Saturday morning to what time it is, and you happen to check your watch and it says 10 o'clock, first thing you should think about is getting the radio onto our program. There's a method to my madness here and there. There's probably a lot of my madness that has no method, but on that one, it's well thought out.
I can attest to that.
Yes, I bet you could. Well, as I said, we have an interesting array of things to talk about. There is so much going on, and so much of it is so stupid, and yet other parts of it are so important. So what's been happening has been interpreted as pretty good news lately. You seem to be listening to us week after week say it was a good week in the market, and I'm not going to break that cycle, are you?
Nope.
Good. Keep it going.
Yeah, it was certainly an eventful week. There was no shortage of things to talk about. My prediction of a government shutdown actually came true. And a few weeks ago when I was on, I missed last week. I was out of town. But the week before, I believe I said, don't worry about the market. And the news is going to try and make it like this is the end of the world and we're all going to die and whatever else they want to say. But the government shut down this week, and I honestly couldn't. Unless the news hadn't told me, there's no way I would have known. How would you know? I mean,
well, there are people who will be affected.
Absolutely.
Most of them temporarily.
Yes. If you're a government worker, especially in the greater DC metro area, you may be furloughed. And so, yes, there are people that are affected. And I know that makes life hard temporarily. But the thing is, when the government reopens, they get all the back pay. So it's not, I mean, yes, it's a temporary hardship, but if that's the worst thing that comes out of this, who cares?
Exactly. Well, and there's not going to be any mass layoffs and mass firings if they just get their act together and reopen the government. Adam and I were talking just for a minute right before the show about how this whole thing is just so stupid. There aren't issues out there worth doing anything about.
Yeah, I'm not going to go into an in-depth analysis of this because you can get that on every other news station right now.
24/7, 365.
But this is really dumb. There's just no reason for us to be going through this right now. Not that we're going through anything because the market was great. I didn't notice that the government shut down and so on and so on. But it's a ridiculous situation. It is not going to affect the market, really. It is not. And in fact, historically, the market has rallied during government shutdowns. And in fact, the market actually shows really strong gains a year out from most shutdowns. So I don't know that those two things are related, but it is historically that has been the case. The third quarter is now in the books as well. So that was another big event this week.
The worst quarter of the year.
Yep. And that was not the case this year.
We took that and got it out of the way in the first quarter.
That's true.
So now he doesn't have to do it.
Maybe that's what happened. But this third quarter included an S&P gain of 8.1%, a Dow gain of 5.6%, and the NASDAQ was up almost 9%. Year to date, S&P is now up 14.2%, the Dow up 9.3%, and the NASDAQ up 18.3%.
And the small caps closed at a record yesterday.
Yeah. It's
again.
It's really been insane.
Yep.
I guarantee you that these numbers are better than almost anyone thought possible this year. I'd love to go back and pull some receipts. I remember Goldman Sachs saying we were in, I think it was Goldman, maybe it was someone else. Don't attribute that to them. But one of the big banks came out and said we're in for a 10-year slow growth period of like 4% or something.
If you Googled those words and put any year you want to on there, most years you would get a hit for the same stupid predictions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then if you look what happened over the next 10 years, they hang in on average right about at the long term 10.9%.
It wasn't long ago they were saying the 60-40 is dead. Well, this has been one of the best years for the 60-40 on record. So go figure.
It makes our jobs more fun, doesn't it?
It does. Just when you, but it also makes it more difficult because you really have to focus on tuning out the noise and go with what you know to be true historically and what will probably be true this time. It's not different. It's the same. Yes, there are certain different things that happen on a day-to-day basis, but the long-term trend has never really changed. It's always been the same. So tuning out the noise, I think, in this environment today with all the different sources, that's what makes it harder today than it has been historically. Historically, you might get a snippet on the news at night. You might get something on the radio in the morning. But now it's just 24/7 beating the drum. So I think that's the harder part. Some notable movements in the third quarter included small cap value, which gained 11.7%. It's been a long time since I said that.
Yes, it has.
And the S&P growth gained almost 10%, while value gained just over 6%. The weakest area of the S&P was consumer staples, which actually traded down 2.5%. Every other sector was positive, by the way, so that was a little bit of a divergence from the norm. The top-performing area was semiconductors, which gained over 17%. Now, semiconductors are not an official segment of the S&P, although I firmly believe they should be broken out and they should be a separate sector at this point. It's actually part of the technology sector, which was up 11.5%. So technology did great, but a lot of that was attributable to the semiconductor companies.
I think technology got up to 35%.
35%, yeah.
When you get that big, and what do they count, 12 or 17?
Well, and that comes with an asterisk, too, because they broke out a bunch of companies into communication services a while back. Otherwise, it would be, I don't know, over 40% probably.
Yeah, this needs to be done again, and I predict that it will be done again.
I think so, too. I think semiconductors will be an official sector.
Yeah, too much influence on the index itself, and it doesn't reflect the market well. And the purpose of the S&P is to tell people that there's a better way to measure the market than just looking at the Dow.
Yeah, exactly. But this is long overdue. Technology has just grown so much, and I think you have to start breaking it up into smaller portions.
Yep.
I've got a bunch more, but we've got about 30 seconds to the break, so I will pick it up on the other side.
Well, I'll give you the one casualty before the break of the government shutdown. I only have one jobs number to lie to you about today.
That's true.
And by lie to you, I mean repeat what they said about it.
Yeah,
which is the same thing. So we'll discuss the implications of that as soon as we get back. So don't go anywhere. We'll pay a few bills. Be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we do have a trivia question, as usual, brought to you by Paul Lloyd, First Coast Alarm. You can call Paul at 904-636-7888. We're talking about the bull market and so on. And last week I was talking with Angela about housing prices and such, and wealth and all kinds of those things. So I've talked ad nauseum about the difference between the average and the mean and how numbers are very, very difficult to interpret sometimes. And I saw a classic example of that and a couple of classic examples. The median and average on wealth in America, the median wealth, meaning there's as many people who are wealthier as there are people who are less wealthy, it's $124,000. That is not a very large number.
No.
The average wealth is $621,000.
Interesting.
That's a pretty big number.
That's because it's skewed upward by the uber rich.
That's right. So when you go under 124,000, you can't go very far under.
That's right.
But when you go over it, you can go a long ways over it. Yeah. Well, the same is true on the bull market. This bull market started in October of 22, and it's up 88%. Not bad, huh? The average bull gains 114%. What does the median bull market gain? It's just it's a percentage number, and I'm not going to give you anything more than that. I will do this, though. It is also less than the average. So I did cap it out between 0 and 114.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. And you see, I'm just in such a good mood today. I'm practically giving answers away, right?
Practically.
Except for the part about you got to get it right.
And you got to call.
So. Oh, there's that, too.
Yeah.
904-222-8255, and the lines are open. All right. More things about the market this week. Very interesting things yet to come. And then we'll talk jobs.
Sure. International stocks, I wanted to talk a little bit about. The third quarter was a bit more of a mixed bag. Argentina dropped more than 17%. Well, India was down 6.5% and Germany was down 1.7%. But on the other side, China gained a pretty astonishing 19.5%, although they had been really beaten down. So,
yeah, conversely, do you think that was because Argentina's practically exploded under Milei?
I think that Argentina, I think there's a number of things going on there. They've really gotten their inflation, quote unquote, under control relative to where it was. I don't know what this particular drop was, but I did see something where someone who is anti him got elected, and maybe they think that he won't be in power that long. And after all the great things he's done for the country, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll fix his wagon, right? We'll just get rid of him.
Yeah, exactly.
Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. Calling from a secret location.
Okay. Good. Keep it secret. Otherwise, they'll come and get you. You know that.
Hey, I think, you know, the market is also reflecting the overall attitude of the country right now, including the tenacity of the party in power to hold the line on some of the changes that positively affect the numbers even more moving forward. So
they are showing some backbone here and there. That's a good thing.
Yep. Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
I was just tuning in when you were talking about the mean and the average. What was the mean and the average again?
All right. For wealth, I'm just giving you an example based on wealth. The median U.S. wealth is $124,000, but the average wealth is $621,000. So the current bull market is up 88%. And the average overall bull market goes up 114. So we would have some room to run there, obviously. But what is the median bull market? That it's between 0 and 114.
62.
A little bit low, but you have really narrowed the gap now. So everybody who wants to call, thank Bob on the way in. That's the way
there
I see
you go.
All right. Yeah, we'll talk about all those things today because there's just so much going on. It's going to be
very
fun.
Very good.
Thank you. Always good to hear from you.
I think his point about the mood of the country being reflected, that's partially what it's reflecting. I also think that this new tax law is doing more positive than it's being given credit for.
That's one of my topics for the second half of the show today. It is such a pleasure to be doing tax planning in October instead of waiting for the idiots in Congress to give us the numbers on the 21st of December when everybody's headed out.
If we're lucky enough to get them by then.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes it even goes into January sometimes. It's a little hard to do financial planning when you're on a cash basis and you don't have the number on December 31. Yeah. But anyway, this year, it's a lot more fun this year, and we got some suggestions. But stay tuned to the end of the show because it'll take a while to get there.
Definitely. Let's go back to the international side. I mentioned that China gained 19.5%. They had been really, really beat up, just absolutely decimated. Their property market is an absolute mess right now. I don't think that's improved at all. The government was doing lots of fiscal stimulus, and maybe that's a reflection of that as well. Mexico and Spain had a good quarter. They were both up over 12%, and the All World Index was up 6.9%. That's except the U.S., and then the emerging markets were up 10.7%, a lot of that coming from China. So just a great quarter all around on the equity side. On the commodity side, it was a mixed bag. Natural gas did what it always seems to do, lost another 14.5%.
And then it turned back up at the end of the – and when October came in, it turned right back up.
It's still down.
I missed my stop.
Gold had a really solid quarter, excuse me, building on its solid year and gaining 16.6%. That was in the quarter. It's now up 46.8% this year.
Yeah, that discussion's been going around, too, in the office and otherwise.
Oh, yeah.
And feel free to talk about that one.
I mean, that seems like a big quarter. But then you look at silver, it was up over 19% in the quarter, and it's now up 61% this year.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It really is.
And we do have another caller.
Oh, good. Good morning. Leroy, I would imagine. There's a misspelling, but that's got to be you out there.
That's got to be. There ain't but one of us in Middlebrook.
There you go. What's up?
I just want to narrow your bracket some more.
Oh, good.
Okay, I've got 74.
You've been looking around or not? You're still too low.
No.
Okay, good.
Still too low?
Yeah. We had, remember a couple weeks ago, I think it was Bob that just took a scientific guess, as it turned out, and nailed it. This one, I'm going to tell everybody, you're pretty close, but no cigar.
No cigar, okay.
All right, we appreciate the call.
All right, thank you much.
Thanks. Stay dry.
Bye.
It's looking like it's going to be a little wet out there. That was pretty good, though.
Outside of equities and commodities, bonds had a really good week. They gained about 2% overall. Rates fell a little, but not really enough to drive bonds up 2%. It was kind of an outsized move. But if you hold bond funds right now, you're probably having a pretty good year. And I mentioned earlier how well the 60-40 portfolio is doing. That has a lot to do with that.
Yes, it does.
And that has not been the case over the last few years. Both the ISM numbers were released this week, and they weren't great. The manufacturing number was actually up over last month and very close to showing growth at 49.1. 50 shows growth. The services number came in right on that 50 number, which means it was neutral. The expectation was for a 51.7, though, which would have been solidly in the expansion territory. So despite that kind of not great number on the services side, the services number has shown expansion 10 out of the last 12 months. So it's been a pretty strong one-year return on that. But
yeah, and that's been the inflationary segment of the society lately too, so yeah. A little softening is okay by me.
That is true. That is something that most people wouldn't consider when you look at a number like that, but there has been a lot of inflation in the services sector. But overall, two numbers with 50 or below, not ideal on those reports. Yeah, and that was everything I had. I know you wanted to talk jobs a bit.
Yeah, but I did want to throw in one little thing before I do that. Over 500,000 Americans became millionaires last year in their 401ks and so on.
Yeah.
This was especially big in this quarter. They dropped 5% in the first quarter this year, and now we're up again at an all-time high. And they're doing it the old-fashioned way, in American equities, largely.
Mm-hmm.
Some are in cryptos and some are in precious metals and so on, but only a percentage. But overall, if you've got a decently balanced portfolio and have been in the market for quite a while and have contributed a lot, looking at that million mark is becoming easier and easier.
The best thing about this year, too, is it doesn't matter where you put your money. Everything's exactly doing well. Yeah. I mean, if you're in bonds, you're up 7%. If you're in stocks, you're up 10%. If you're in international equities, you're up over 10%. It's just been such a good year. If you're in gold and silver, you're up 40%. So it's just been an amazing year to be an investor.
Yeah, you don't want to be chasing things so much as just keeping on. In other words, what you're doing, if you're finding yourself successful, just keep doing it.
Look at rebalancing.
Chase things.
Look at rebalancing, actually selling off your winners and buying the things that are up less. I mean, that's really what you should be thinking about as we move towards the end of the year.
Because you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Inevitably. Everything reverts back to the mean, given a chance. So we will go into that a little deeper on the other side. I'll cover jobs first and then some of that. And it's, you know, it's all political junk, too, that you can't help it. So I'll tell you what happened, and you can make your own notes as to why. So anyway, we'll pay a few bills and be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have been talking about a lot of things, and one of them I mentioned was jobs. So with the government shutdown, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the people charged with calculating the two surveys for the government, they did not produce any numbers. What did produce numbers was the one that comes out the first Wednesday of the month. It's the ADP, the private payrolls number. And they're usually pretty accurate because what they do is they prepare payrolls. So they take a sampling
look at
of
their own data.
It's kind of captive. So that headline came out on Wednesday morning, and there was panic in the streets. Minus 32,000 jobs. So, of course, the left and the media, I'm sorry for the redundancy, they jumped on it. Oh, the Trump economy is losing jobs. This is awful. Well, I'm going to read you the first paragraph of the ADP report, and then I'm going to drop the subject. ADP conducted its annual preliminary rebenchmarking of the National Employment Report in September based on the full year 2024 results of the quarterly census of employment and wages. That's a long sentence. This recalibration resulted in a reduction of 43,000 jobs in September compared to pre-benchmark data. The trend was unchanged. Job creation continues to lose momentum across most sectors. So we were up 11. We were not down 32. That was a numerical adjustment that did not affect anyone. Enough said. Okay, moving right along. Let's see, do we want to do anything else here? Oh, yes, I wanted to mention one. If all you're looking for a hot stock here, I'm so good at hot stocks, right? Ever heard of a company called Rigetti?
I have read about it, but I don't know much about it.
Symbols RGTI. In the past year, it's up 4,760%.
That's a pretty good return.
Not bad. It has a market cap. First, let's talk about sales first. The sales this past year were $8.2 million with an M. $8.2 million.
Why is this a publicly traded company? It doesn't make any sense.
They're betting on growth, I guess.
I guess.
The market cap today is $14 billion.
That's insane.
With a B.
That's insane.
That's 1,700 times what it's actually worth in my book.
Wow.
So if you're looking for a flyer, don't look there. That would be a mistake.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but you know, they're... That's the problem with this momentum type investing with the hot stocks. Just don't do it. Enough said. All right. Who knew Social Security would end paper checks? I wanted to get that one off the top of the list also. Let's see. Where do we go now? You want to talk about tax planning first, or should we put that down the road?
Whatever you want to do.
All right. This whole tax planning season is unlike anything that I have seen in the 23, 4 years I've been doing this. It is so nice to know the rules all of a sudden prior to what needs to be done. And we're back to, you don't have to automatically assume everybody is going to take the standard deduction this year, because there were some changes made that could change things a lot. One of them is the increase in the SALT limits, the state and local taxes, that jumped from to 40,000,
mm-hmm.
which if you're in a high tax state and make good money, might affect you.
Unless you make too much money.
Right.
In which
the problem with that is it's income limited again, restricted. So if you make too much, it starts coming back down. And if you go over the certain level, you're back to 10. But everybody gets a 10. Well, what if you're not above the 10 in state and local taxes? What can you do about it? Well, here's one. Most everybody I know has the option of paying their property taxes in one of two different years or splitting them. So let's say that you could exceed your $10,000 next year if only you could pay this year's taxes and next year's taxes, property taxes, next year. Well, then maybe you should think about doing that. It does have a little cost to it to defer it. I talk St. John's County because they're the ones I know because I live there. But you can do that. You can also look at your medical expenses. Medical expenses are deductible above 7.5% of your adjusted gross income. That means if you have big medical expenses coming up, you might want to think about deferring them to next year because that might put you over that limit also. But like everything the government does, there are so many strings attached to these things. Like we know that all of us who are 65 and over were gifted another $6,000 deduction, standard deduction, that's independent of everything else. You get it. Except that one thing it is dependent on is it also phases out with your income. So when you start your spreadsheet or your analysis, you have to look at that as well, because sometimes you might want to not take in that income or cut your expenses down somehow. One of the ways to do it, a lot of people know what the qualified charitable contribution is, or QCD as they're called in the business.
Deduction.
Yeah. It, you,
or donation.
Yeah. If you're 70 and a half, you can make a direct charitable donation from your IRA, and you get that. You get the benefit, the charitable aspect of it, but it does not hit your income statement. It doesn't go up and then you have to deduct it. It's like it never happened, except it can count toward your required minimum if you're needing to take one. And one way or the other, you get your donation done and it does not cost you anything in income. You can now, that's limited to something like $125,000 a year. You don't even have to worry about that, most people. But there is now an everyman's QCD, and it goes up to $2,000 for a couple, $1,000 an individual, that can be done out of your cash account. But the rules are the same. You have to send the check directly, your account sends the check directly to the charity. It has to be a qualified charity, but it doesn't hit your income. Therefore, this year, you can give some of your charitable deductions or all of them, whatever it is, if it's up to $2,000, you can give those away and cut down your income, which can positively impact your ability to take the full $6,000 each. These are little tricks that we have not had a chance to use over the past several years of tax planning, and they can really start to add up. Think in terms of every other year you do something, or if every year you can do it, that's great. But the planning, while being available now and being much more fun to do, it's quite complicated. And we have in the firm a piece of software that's really, really good. And what they did, I followed along around the 4th of July as this bill was becoming law, and I noticed that very shortly after it was signed, they updated their system and took all of the current law, meaning the one that was just signed in, they put that in there. So you can feed that information into the software and it'll tell you exactly where you stand. And then you can go back and you can say, well, what if I didn't pay my property taxes till next year? What if this and what if that? And it'll give you the answers right now. It's so easy and so cool. And if anybody is interested in talking about such things, you want to come in and see us, then you know how.
Yeah. And also with the new tax bill, the Tax Policy Center estimated that instead of 40% of people who will owe no income tax, it is now 42% of people that owe no income tax this year. So that's a big change. When you talk about the number of Americans that 2% represents, that's a huge number of people that will owe nothing this year. If you find yourself in that category and you have IRAs, look at Roth conversions.
Yes. That's another thing that you can model in the software
too. Definitely.
So there's just a great opportunity now for people to do tax planning. And we're kind of giddy with the whole thing because we're so accustomed to just being strained at the end of the year to try to make suggestions to our clients. Like, well, this would help if they pass this law or if they don't do this and whatever. And this year we actually know what's going on. So just thought I'd bring that up. And if you're dealing with someone else, an advisor, CPA, something like that, just look around and see if there isn't something that you might be able to do that would help. So
yeah.
Don't throw tax money away.
One of the examples in an article that I pulled up said that a married couple that makes $100,000, if that includes some overtime pay, mm-hmm. with two kids under 13 could use child tax credits, standard deduction, and either overtime or tip deductions to reduce their taxes to $0. $100,000 and you pay no taxes. That's pretty good. That's
pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. I want to mention too that there are some tax credits that in the OBBBA, the new tax bill, they are going away. One of them just went away. September 30th was the end of the electric vehicle $7,500 subsidy. And in an unrelated item, did you see Tesla's sales for the third quarter?
They were all through the roof.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And apparently, in case anybody was ever wondering if the $7,500 incentive for an electric vehicle was being used by people,
the answer
the
is
proof
yes.
is in. Now, I would not be a buyer of Tesla stock today personally because that $7,500 went away.
Yeah.
I'm afraid you're going to see kind of a reduction due to the sales that were moved forward. Congress can do anything. Maybe they'll re-implement a new one for somewhere down the line, but it's not going to be this year, that's pretty sure. Adam got some numbers he wants to go over, too. I'll hit a few more of these things you can do on your house, and we'll talk about anything you want to if you just give us a call. So we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Vanway Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanway Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanway.
And I'm Adam Vanway.
Is it only me or is the sinus conditions around here affecting anybody else's throat? My God, we need a freeze, but not right away. I wanted to mention one more thing on the tax plan, and then I'm going to turn it over to Adam. I forgot about if your age on December 31st this year is 60, 61, 62, or 63, and you're contributing to a retirement plan, don't forget about the catch-up contribution, which is an additional $3,750 for people in only those four age brackets. But that's another way you can get that income cut back down easily and do yourself some good on the retirement end. I wish I wouldn't have limited that. That would have been a nice thing just to change and have the catch-up contribution be bigger. Also remember that IRS is going to require catch-up contributions of all kinds to be Roth. But they're not doing it in 26. They're doing it in 27.
Is that official? It was unclear to me.
I read what I think is the definitive ruling on it just a week or so ago, and it looks like it's going to be put off till 27.
Yeah, I think they have to. I don't think everyone has a Roth option at this point.
No, they don't. And that's the bottom line on this is if you are in a plan with an employer that does not allow a Roth option for your contributions, go demand one.
Yeah.
Because they really can change it easily. It's no big deal.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
There's a huge percentage of those plans that do have it. Yours should not be an exception.
Agreed. At this point, it should be, you should always have an option between the two. Mm-hmm. It's just too easy to do for them not to do it.
Yeah, and your income planning in retirement becomes a lot easier, too, because if you need some money but you're up against a tax bracket or something like that, just take a little from the Roth side.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really, really a wonderful feature to have both. And this should not be overlooked right now before they have to go that way.
Agreed. So I wanted to talk about a situation. I've been getting calls about this recently, and my own wife asked me about this the other day. When do you pay off your mortgage? If you, let's say, So what I did was I set, let's set up the scenario. Let's say that you are 5 years into a 30-year mortgage and you owe $200,000 of principal on your mortgage. And that mortgage is at a 3% rate. You were lucky you got it during COVID, a really good rate. And what happens if you inherit $200,000 tax-free, you have it, do you pay off that mortgage? Lots of people think, yeah, definitely pay off the mortgage. That's everybody's goal, right? Well, not so fast. You're actually shooting yourself in the foot if you pay off a 3% mortgage with that $200,000. And why? Well, here's why. Let's say that instead of paying off your mortgage, you invest that $200,000 into a high-yield savings account and you reinvest the interest and you do that for the 25 years and well paying off your mortgage. You actually end up, after that 25 years, with $53,000 more dollars than if you had paid off your mortgage. That's not bad. Not life-changing money, but not bad. Okay.
And it does not involve a great deal of risk to do it the way you just said.
No. And I was assuming that high-yield savings paid 4%.
Yeah.
So what happens if you think, well, maybe I should invest some of that in the stock market? Okay. Let's say you put half in a high-yield savings and the other half you put in a stock account and you make 7% on it. At the end of 25 years, you actually have $212,000 more dollars than you would have if you had paid off your mortgage. Now, what happens if you put it all in the stock market and made 7% and you kept that mortgage, paid it monthly? You end up with $372,000 more dollars doing it by investing in the market than if you had paid off that mortgage. That's a good amount of money.
It certainly is.
That goes a long way in retirement.
Even 25 years from now, that's still going to be a lot of money.
Yeah, exactly. That is why you don't pay off your 3% mortgage, and also why people feel trapped in their
houses. Is not counting a tax impact, I presume. But some of that growth might wind up being,
yes,
you know, capital gains.
I did not include taxes in that because it just made it too complicated, because I don't know what your tax bracket
right.
is.
And on the other side of that equation, the mortgage payment is no deduction for most people either.
Yeah, but it is for some. And so it was too hard to discern how to handle the tax and the tax implications. So that's going to make these numbers slightly smaller, maybe, unless you can deduct that mortgage interest, right. And then maybe not. It was too complicated.
Yeah, it's hard to talk generally about these things without just saying, look, this is in general.
Yeah,
and every exactly. person should do his or her own tax yeah. planning. And
now, that would make the numbers slightly smaller, but it would yeah. not negate
doesn't
them.
Doesn't change the
yeah,
concept.
They're still going to be. You're still going to have more money at the end of everything than if you had paid off your mortgage.
Yeah, there's no conclusion that will be altered by any of this.
Yeah,
it's only.
And I did assume that if you paid off that mortgage, I put your mortgage payment and invested it in the same way in the scenario. So if you were Good. If you were saving in a high yield savings, I took that mortgage payment and put it into a high yield savings account. So it was apples to apples on okay. that side.
Good. All right. Things you can still do by the end of the year. The tax credits that have not already expired last until the end of this year. And by lasting until then, what I mean is they have to be done and paid for. And you know, IRS considers anything paid for if the credit card charge comes in this year. Mm-hmm. So you can even put off the cash on the credit card until January if you want to. But you have to get it done this year or you may not get another one. What counts? Well, I may have mentioned this last week, but we changed out over the last few years our air conditioning systems and our light bulbs. We changed over to the cheaper one, expensive light bulbs, cheap to run. And it saved us hundreds of dollars a month now, right in this particular part of the warm season. It's just astounding how much you can get. Well, the new ones are eligible for tax credits. And if you want to look up what the tax credits are, go to energystar.com. That's the people who rate appliances and so on. But exterior doors and windows, rooftop solar systems, skylights, water heaters. I asked Angela last week if she'd ever heard of a heat pump water heater. And she said, yes, she had. She hasn't seen one, but she knew that they're efficient. I had no idea that there were heat pump water heaters, and they are included. I believe your tankless water heaters, the Vernais and so on, also included. And we did that, too. And I promise you, our gas bill paid them off in 2 years, if that. It was incredible how efficient these things
are.
Yeah,
it's really nice.
Yep. Residential energy credits is the name of the game, and you can see what you can get. But remember, the details are very, very important. The SEER ratings and so on have to be complied with for every category. And if you do that and get it done this year, you can put some absolute cash in your money or in your pocket and avoid some in taxes. How about that?
Nice.
All right, what's the latest thing, baby? Excuse me. I said about my voice. What's the latest thing baby boomers are doing to supplement their retirement strategy? Any idea?
No clue.
Side hustles.
Oh, yeah. I have noticed, just anecdotally, I've noticed that quite a bit recently.
My generation now are becoming Uber drivers and so on.
And like DoorDash delivery drivers and stuff like that.
And even pet sitting, dog walking, babysitting. So my question to a lot of people is very simple. Why do so many liberal politicians want to take away our ability to work as gig workers, 1099 types?
Yeah.
In every Uber liberal state in the country, they keep pushing these bills into their own legislatures that would make it virtually impossible to be a gig worker.
Yep, I agree.
They want everybody to be above board, employed by somebody, so they can have their hours dictated to them, so they can and basically can't even make a decent living and write off everything they would otherwise. It's unbelievable.
It's actually a great thing for older people, especially retirees, because if you need the extra money and you get a sense of purpose out of it, because a lot of retirees struggle because they don't have anything to do, and this gives you something to do that also pays you. It's such a great thing, I think.
I think it's a wonderful thing. Do not forget things like liability insurance, especially if you're driving a car. This can become very important. You want to make sure that you don't get caught up in something that you didn't plan for. And if you also are in a tax-paying situation, make sure that you're adhering to the rules for quarterly estimates if you start to become success. Just look up the Form 1040-ES worksheet, which is the quarterly tax payments. They're due in April, June, September, and January, and you can find out if you are going to be affected by those by checking out the rules for the 1040 ES. The Social Security payments depend on how much you make, so you have to check out those rules too on socialsecurity.gov. But if you can go out there and get a side hustle, all of a sudden the cost of all the things that has escalated so much in the past few years will help. It'll help you to cover those things, and hopefully you'll get out, get some fresh air, meet some people, and have a little fun. All right, the average bull market gain is 114, but the median is only 76.7. So we have already surpassed the median, but we're a long ways from the average. Wonder how this one will turn out.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'm not a betting man on things like that, but at least if you look at it from one side of that equation, there's a lot of room to run. So we'll find out. Just stay tuned. Right now, enjoy the market. Enjoy everything. The weather's getting cooler. Football's back on. This is just a great time to be alive, isn't it?
Agreed.
And so far, the hurricanes are headed away from us. Yeah. Let's hope that keeps on. See you next week. This is the Ben Wee Financial Hour.